heart be acceptable in your sight through Christ our Lord. Amen. Daydreaming is a pleasant pastime. And whether it's a little child laying down on the lawn, looking up at the clouds and trying to figure out the formations into something that they recognize, or whether it's an older man sitting in a rocking chair, losing himself in the wonderland of yesteryear with a little glass of iced tea. However, daydreaming is no way to make a living. You see, dreaming is detached from reality, and living in a dream world is not dealing with reality. You're okay if you're daydreaming on a vacation or resting after cutting the lawn or playing. That's fine. But it's no way to live a life. Nor can you build the church on dreams. The church was built on the solid proclamation of God's word, spoken authoritatively by apostles, by prophets, by pastors, by teachers, and by congregational members. And that's how the church was built. Inspired by the Holy Spirit, it was the brave believer speaking quite definitively the word of God. It is a reminder to all of us that Jesus Christ commanded and promised us that he is the one who works through his word spoken out of your mouths, and that in that he grants peace and pardon for sin, as we just sang. He also comes through his sacraments of word, of body and blood, bread and wine, and baptism, water and word. No one who follows the triune God's directions will be put to shame by the word of God. So here we have St. Paul daydreaming, or I guess more accurately, just dreaming. He had fallen asleep. He had had a vision. God led him by divine inspiration in a dream. And in this dream, St. Paul is told to come over to Macedonia to preach the truth. Authoritatively, as the text states, it happened this way. A man of Macedonia, seen in the vision, was standing there urging him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. And when Paul had seen the vision, immediately we sought, and he's talking about Luke and him too here, we sought to go up into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel there. Now you might be asking yourself, well, what is Macedonia? We don't have a Macedonia today, do we, Pastor? No, we don't. We really don't. We have Europe, though, and that's what Macedonia was. He was carrying God's word for the first time into Europe, and to write down the message and preach the divine message to the people that had never heard of it before. We can learn from this godly revelation, godly dream, godly vision that was given Paul, and pray that God would lead us boldly proclaiming the message of salvation to our missions of our worlds. And that's not so far away as you think. You see, the missions of our worlds are found in our backyards. They're in our houses. They're in our families. They're in our neighbors, our workplaces, our school places, our markets, our friends, our nursing homes, even in the prisons, and even to those who are our enemies. You see, our mission field doesn't have to go off to some far-off land. It's right here. It's all around us. It's startling how little people know about Jesus Christ. There is a song about imagining what heaven will be like, and that's a good thing. Okay, imagine it. But it's not reality. It's not based in that reality of this world. It beckons us to dream and to imagine. The day will come too soon when we will see the heavenly dream implanted by Christ in his church. But God doesn't say, just daydream about that, imagine that heaven. He says, you go and you tell the people. Until then, we've got a task. There's a lot of empty seats in this church that should be full. And why aren't they full? You know as well as I do. We fail to speak the message. We've been commissioned by Christ. Open your mouths. Proclaim the gospel. Tell people of the love of Jesus Christ. And we say, oh, there's another time or a better time that I can do that. I don't really need to do that to my neighbor. They go to church anyway. Now's not the time in the family to build the bridges again. Too angry with what's happened. We come up with all kinds of excuses as why not to listen to the Lord and his command. Go. Preach. Teach. Everything that I have taught you. Until then, that coming heaven, we've got a task to do. And this church should be full. And that includes myself. Now, don't get me wrong. Sure, the law stings, it hurts. You're not feeling too good right now because I just chastised you about the empty seats all around you and the way that you do not proclaim like Christ tells you to proclaim. But there is good news happening here at the church. You see, we do have some mission eyes here at church. Maybe not as good as maybe I would like to see them or others, but we do have some mission eyes, and we are concerned about the Word of God getting out. Just like the people over at Wycliffe. They want to get the Bible in the language of every person on earth so that they can read of the great deeds of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And we support their efforts. Martin Luther, when he was talking about the dream of the eternal heaven, he proclaimed of the futuristic language, when the Lord restores the fortune of Zion, we will be like those who had a dream. Now it's still an article of faith, but then we will see it. There are dreams to hold on to. Imagine what heaven will be like. A Bible in everyone's hands that they can read and understand. The reality is where the rubber hits the road. What are we doing? What did Luther mean by that? He meant when God brings about the fortunes of heaven to us, it will be like those who have dreamed all along of a heavenly home. But here's the problem with dreams. They're not now. They're not yet. They're in the future. And now we live in the dream of God's triune mission of for our salvation and the salvation of others. In our lives in Christ Jesus, the crucified, risen one who was sent by the Father for us and for our salvation, as we proclaim in the Creed. Who sent the Holy Spirit by the Father, requested of the Son to equip the church with power from on high, as we read in our Gospel. Reminding the church of all that I have said and done for you, to preach, to speak, to comfort, to deliver, to go to the mission fields of our lives, wherever those might be. The apostles and the missionaries were sent likewise to proclaim the mystery of the reconciliation and forgiveness of Jesus Christ. When Christ commissioned them, and he said, "Peace be with you, my peace I give unto you. As the Father has given unto me and sent me, even so I am now sending you." And when he said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." This divine ministry of word and sacrament generates the whole Christian church and still does to this very day. That's the very power and essence behind the church and what it is. It is the proclaimers of the forgiveness of sins. And even in our own Lutheran churches, Lutheran missionaries, Lutherans plant Lutheran churches, Lutherans send missionaries, the Lutherans speak of the message of Christ and Him crucified boldly before the world. They speak of Christ's resurrection. They speak of Christ reigning in heaven, and all the people know of God's saving grace, and that's a good thing. That's what's good happening in this church. This divine mission builds the church where and when the Holy Spirit wills it to happen. Whether it is the call to Macedonia, where Paul was directed to cross over into Europe, or whether it's over our backyard fence to our neighbor who needs to hear the message of Christ. The Holy Spirit works through these vessels that are like you and me. The Holy Spirit may deny various routes like he did to St. Paul, but he will direct us in our own ways to our own Philippi's. And as Luther spoke God's word, and thus the church moves like a good summer rain from one place to another and to another and to another, God so grows his church. In similar fashion, sometimes it rains here, sometimes it rains somewhere else, and sometimes other places. But he's always giving, he's always spreading, he's always teaching, and he will leave no stone unturned. This means God's mission crosses borders, it crosses ethnical lines, it crosses ethnic lines, it crosses sexes, it crosses nationalities, it crosses property lines, it crosses country borders. Shall we say that at Cross of Christ, God's word even crosses oceans? How can that be? Through missionary support of the Wagners in Africa. Or the far-off lands of mission societies to other foreign lands. How's that, you say, Pastor? Do you not support locally the ministry of Disciples of the Way? Pastor Badawi here last week. Do you not think that his lives that he touches of Islamic people from around the world, that message doesn't go out to family members in other nations? You gotta hear this good news. In supporting them, do not the people they talk to bring that message of Christ to their families, wherever they are, be it here in Dallas or up in Detroit or over on the West Coast or the East Coast or all the world? Might those saving words be spoken to families? What about supporting Wycliffe and Marshall and Vanish? They touch lives all over the world. Not just in Duncanville, but all over the world. Yes, there are good things you are doing, but we can do more. And we can do more not only in the world sense, but in our own backyards, in our own workplaces, wherever we are, whatever our vocation is, we can tell of the love of Jesus. Paul himself had certainly crossed the borders. Persecution had become the mission of St. Paul. It's usually what led him to run out of cities. Jesus' last apostle was called from unbelief to faith and discipleship and was going to be persecuted, as Christ even said. But it never stopped him from moving to another mission field or another border or something else that blocked him. Neither should it for you and I. Persecution is already defeated in Christ. We've got the victory. The battle, the fight against those who would not like to hear us might be lost one time, but ultimately the war was won. Jesus Christ is victorious. His word will reign. And it's just as St. Paul went to Europe, so one day there was a little monk over in Europe, in the tiny country of Saxony, who went up against the all-glorious and powerful church. And he says, "I don't care what the church is saying. I care what God's word is saying. And that's what I'm going to preach. And that's what I'm going to teach." And from Saxony, that came over here to a little town outside of St. Louis. It eventually leaked down to Texas, to a small city named DeSoto, to a congregational people named Cross of Christ, because somebody spoke the message to you and to me. So what is missions? It's definitely not daydreaming or daydreaming life away, only thinking about what heaven's going to be like. It might be understood by William Leahy's definition, who never saw America but supported so many missions in America. He said, "Missions is the church in motion." Or maybe even better understanding, mission is any place that God places you and me, and it is done when I open my mouth and speak of God's love and forgiveness, which is found in Christ Jesus, our Savior. May God cause our dreams of heaven and the reality of the forgiveness of sins in Christ to be spoken by our mouths to others wherever that mission field is that we are placed in. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Now may the peace of